Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm your host, Janice Snell. Welcome to Beauty Talk for tonight, Sunday, March 6th. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. We are speaking tonight with Marietta Carter-Narcisse, but before we catch up with Marietta, I just want to remind you all that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty News. Congratulations goes out to the makeup and hair teams of Mad Max Fury Road for their 2016 Oscar win for makeup and hairstyling. The team consisted of Leslie Vanderwalt, Elka Wardega on hair, and Damian Martin for makeup. Congratulations also goes out to the other nominees in that category. Also, the Saturn Awards, the official awards group of the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films, has announced a partial list of its 2016 nominees for Outstanding Film and Television Work in the Sci-Fi, Fantasy, and Horror genres. The Saturn Award nominees for Best Makeup makeup for Film are Crimson Peak. The makeup artists are David Marty, Mats Rebbe, and Xavi Bastida. Mad Max Fury Road, Damian Martin and Nadine Prigg. Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Neil Scanlon. Black Moss, Joel Harlow and Kenny Niederbomber. The Hateful Eight, Gregory Nicotero, Howard Burgert, and Hiba Thoris-Dottier. And for Cesario, Donald Mowat. The Saturn Awards has also launched a YouTube channel which features the announcements and discussion of the nominees. So for more information, you can go to youtube.com/C/official Saturn Awards channel. Again, it's youtube.com/C/official Saturn Awards channel, or of course you can just go to Google and just do a search on Saturn Awards. The remaining Saturn Award nominees will be announced on March 2nd, which, of course, just passed. And, again, you can go to SaturnAwards.org for more information on who those people are. Coming up June 3rd through 5th of this year is IMATS London. So for more information on IMATS London, who's going to be there, who's going to be speaking, the classes that will be available, the vendors that will be there, and information on travel and things like that. If you're interested in traveling out of the country for IMATS, you can go to imats.net and you will get the information on IMATS London as well as IMATS New York that's coming up. And also that same weekend here in the States from June 4th through 6th, Premier Day Spa with the Spa Business Forum will be taking place in Orlando, Florida, at the Orlando Orange Convention Center. This show is for beauty industry professionals and students only. Again, for beauty industry professionals and students only. This show, Premier Day Spa, is co-locating with Premier Orlando, so those two shows will be combined, again, June 4th through the 6th. And to register for a show pass online, you can go to premierdayspa.biz. Again, it's premierdayspa.biz. Or you can call 800 800-335-7469. Again, that number is 800-335-7469. Or if you're local in Orlando, you can call 407-265-3131. 407-265-3131. And I will be having more detailed information, or I will be sharing more detailed information on Premier Day Spa in Premier Orlando on next week's Beauty News.
All right. Thank you very much. So again, our guest tonight is Marietta Carter-Narcisse. Welcome to the show, Marietta.
Hi. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. So what have you been up to?
Oh, I'm still trying to come out from underneath. I just had a busy, busy, hectic 3 weeks in Barbados working on a documentary, a docudrama. And,
3 weeks in Barbados, that doesn't sound like hectic.
You know what, but I tell you, anytime you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's hectic. You know, it was tough. It was really long days because we had so much to accomplish in a very short period of time. And I was doing, oh, my God, I had so many titles. I was one of the producers. I was also a costume designer and head of makeup and hair.
So what exactly was the project?
The project, it's a docudrama on our father of independence. This year, November 30th, we celebrate our 50th anniversary of independence from Britain. So it was a docudrama on Errol Barrow, our father of independence, and the man that he was and the things that he did leading us up to independence. So that was very, very, you know, it was very interesting. Having left Barbados so early, this was a huge educational project for me and very near and close and dear to my heart because it gave me an opportunity to learn a lot about things that I didn't know anything about. And it was a lot of emotion, a lot of things combined, and a lot of hard work because this is 1966 that we gained independence from Britain. So it was a period piece, and I ended up putting on a lace wig, hand-tied lace wig every day on our lead actor. And my lead actor is Adrian Holmes, who was from, he's from between Canada and Los Angeles. And our lead actress is Lisa Arundel Anderson from Atlanta. So they made such a lovely couple on screen. And we have some amazing clothes from Crystal Lockenier, who was our department head here. And that was so wonderful to be able to have her come down and work with me. So it was nice. It was really nice. It was really nice. It was
so
really nice.
So there was a department head for hair, but you were still doing putting on wigs.
I supervise the whole look for makeup, hair, and wardrobe. But Crystal did the hair on the women, but the hair on Adrian, the hand-tied hair lace wig on Adrian, I applied that every day on him, and he worked every day. And Crystal did the hair on Lisa Arundel Anderson. The clothes. Crystal has an amazing collection of 1960s clothes. So we took all that down to Barbados and tons of jewelry and it was really great. It was wonderful just pulling all that stuff together and seeing the finished product. Oh my God. We were really happy.
So did you all travel with that stuff or was that stuff shipped there beforehand?
Girl, I took 6 suitcases down with me.
Ugh.
Yeah, three at 70 pounds and the others at 50. Yeah, and Crystal had 3 suitcases. We had quite a bit of luggage with us, yes. And I hand-carried the lace wigs because I didn't want anything to happen to them, you know. all the clothes. We took all the clothes and the jewelry. The jewelry alone was like a suitcase of stuff.
So where did the jewelry come from? Was it something that Did you have a collection of the jewelry, or was something that you borrowed, or?
It came right out of my personal closet.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a huge, huge, huge collection of stuff. And then Crystal brought back some pieces, lovely brooches and beautiful button earrings and, you know, things like that. And you know, that went along with the wardrobe that she has. I mean, the collection and and all those things were custom made back in the 60s. And can I tell you that those outfits fit Lisa Arendelle Anderson like a glove?
I'm sure.
It was as though they were custom made for her, and she is so sweet and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a charm fitting clothes in her. Not one alteration.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so
we had
how
to
was the makeup like?
What
was the makeup like?
We did 1960s. I did pale pinks in her mouth. Some corals, lashes, you know, just 1960s. We used gloves we had a big ball scene, so, you know, long gloves were in and upper length gloves were in, so we used a lot of long gloves, beautiful beaded pocketbook, because this was a huge celebration. This was Independence Gala, so, I mean, they were dressed to the nines, you know, and they had, you know, the Duchess of Kent and all these aristocrats from England and the different prime ministers from different islands and their wives and all the ambassadors and the different dignitaries. So they were dressed to the nines. Oh, my God, they were dressed. So we were able to pull together beautiful updos. Crystal did some beautiful updos. We had quite a team in there doing beautiful updos. So we were working with the team. We were also training simultaneously because the film industry is very new in Barbados. So we had a lot going on at one time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you use people from there as part of your team?
Yes, we used locals, and it was quite a bit going on because we were trying to train simultaneously along with working.
Mm-hmm.
And pass on, you know, knowledge to locals. So, yeah, it was a very interesting process. Very, very interesting process.
So let me, because I mean, it's like the more you talk, I just have all kinds of questions. So let me ask you, you were training people, because like you said, the film industry is very new there, but the makeup industry as a whole, like, how much training did you have to do as far as, I'm sure you weren't really, I can't say that, but how much makeup training were you actually doing? Were you doing more makeup training or just training on the film industry itself?
It was overall film, you know, overall, this is what film is about. This is how we do it. These are the things you have to know. This is the word, and this is the vocabulary. It was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And training interns on how to do continuity, training the wardrobe staff on how to pull wardrobe together and the importance of watching every little detail, every little nuance, making sure that things look the same way all the time, working with a lot of extras, how to work with all the background.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of overall... this is how film is done, training, more than makeup and hair techniques. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
interesting.
Yeah, so it was that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot. You know, making sure people understand the difference between theater and film.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I gave it overall instructions of what I wanted the makeup to look like. A lot of it was, you know, very clean. So I wasn't too concerned about that. And I actually did have one student who trained with me up here in the state who was there.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
And she trained at Cosmics, and she went back home to Barbados. And she kind of knew how I worked. And then the overall department for makeup, hair, and wardrobe, we were training on this is what you do, this is how you do it, This is the speed that you work at.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of taking pictures and doing continuity and stuff. So, yeah, and noting everything that everybody's wearing. So it was a lot of that. So it was a huge crash. It was a huge crash course in filmmaking 101, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the industry different at all over there versus here?
Well, yeah, because the industry is in its birthing stage.
Yeah.
The industry is probably in its second trimester.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So very,
so very,
very,
very, very, very new.
Yeah. So what is the just the makeup industry like overall there?
We've got a Big Mac. We've got a Mac store there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Mac store. We've got NYX is there. I think they have a freestanding space down there. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of other lines that I don't know that I saw there and freestanding spaces. Mm-hmm. A lot of Black
mm-hmm.
Opal down there.
Mm-hmm.
They're into makeup, short hair. They're into a lot of short hair and a lot of weaves,
mm-hmm.
both. I mean, anything that you pretty much can get in the States, you can get it there for
right.
a price.
Right, right.
You know, it's just marked up like 3 or 4 times. Our dollar is 2 to 1. So you have to take that into consideration. And then, you know, there's VAT and, you know, the whole system. So, yeah, it's a very interesting process.
Hmm.
You know, but we took in a lot of that. Crystal took in all the hair stuff that she needed. I took in all the makeup stuff that I needed and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much took in everything we needed because, I mean, it was better than having to pay the exorbitant prices for some of the other stuff that,
right.
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And were there any problems getting all of that over there?
Getting it in to customs?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, because we had clearance.
Okay.
We had clearance through the Barbados Tourism and Product Authority. We had clearance through them, so we didn't have too much problems getting. I mean, the biggest expense I think was through American Airlines not having any, you know, paying the hefty fees because they charge you
right.
Yeah, you know, $200 for your third bag when you're flying business class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they might charge 50 for the you have to pay like $25, then $35, then $125. I mean, it is just, whew, it's cheaper to put another piece on than to pay the overweight, too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
what were your work hours like? How early did you all start and how long?
Oh, the work hours. Well, I was up most mornings at 3 a.m. because we shot in a seminary. We shot in an Anglican seminary, which is like was built in the 1700s, which is, oh my God, a spectacular building. Most of our shooting was done there, so we were up really, really early. And we put in between 12 and 15-hour days, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, because we had a very limited amount of time to get all the things we needed done. And we were shooting, you know, Barbados is only 166 square miles. It's a very small island. But I got to tell you, there's so much traffic on that little island. And to get from one side of the island to the other is a good 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, you've got hills and traffic, and, I mean, it's not easy to get around. It took us a while to get from one side to the other. So it was a very, very...
When shooting, you all, traveled together from, like, I don't know, what were your accommodations like?
Myself and Crystal and the first AD and the second AD, we all stayed together. That made it so much easier to figure out our times in the morning, to really
right.
communicate any problems, any challenges, and work all those things. That made it a whole lot easier for us.
Right.
So that made it so much more efficient time-wise and being able to get things done and work out a lot of kinks before we got there.
Right.
You know, so we actually flowed pretty smoothly. I mean, because Tuba was on point with her hair, she knew what she was doing. So, and she's like a really amazing hairstylist. So that worked really well. And you know, we talked about the scenes and we talked about the execution, and we knew exactly what we had to do. So, because again, the toughest part for us was the ball scene where we had so many people and so many updos.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Supremes actually performed at our Independence. And, you know, that was something that I didn't even know. I mean, that's not what I did Diana Ross's makeup and Mary Wilson's makeup. I would have asked them about that. But I had no idea that they performed at our Independence. And so we did a reenactment of them performing. So that was a very interesting thing.
Right.
I mean, I guess back in 1966, that was huge for the island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you can conceptualize the whole thing of this little teeny tiny island gaining independence. You know, it's so different than. I'm trying to think of what I can compare it to. I don't even know what I can compare it to, but it was a huge deal. You know, I mean, one of the most memorable things to me within the shooting was when the actual Union Jack was lowered and the Barbados flag was raised for the first time. That was monumental. You know, I mean, that was really, really something big. I mean, because my recollection as a kid leaving Barbados at 12 years old is in 1966 when Queen Elizabeth came to visit before our independence and standing in the streets waving to Queen Elizabeth. You know, so I don't think you guys can conceptualize of that.
Right.
You know, kind of strange kind of thing. So that was my adventure. That's what I've been up to, and I've been, you know, like it has taken me all week to recuperate.
Oh wow!
Yeah, because we're also ahead of an hour ahead of the East Coast, so mm-hmm. It is the sun rises pretty early down there because we're the furthest east of all the Caribbean islands. We're the closest to Africa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big adjustment, and they rise really early down there because the sun comes up very, very early.
Right.
It kind of slaps in your head at 5 o'clock in the morning, I think. I just finished dinner and having a shot of Barbadian rum, so I'm in a really good mood.
And you go back to spirit. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
You've been back to Paris within the last few months. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was in Paris in December, right after the whole attack, and I actually was in Saint Denis where they raided the one of the killers. Yeah, I was a little unnerved of what I, you know, when I got on the plane, but you know, I just said, you know, I don't think it's my time to go, so I'm not going anywhere. So it's in God's hands. I'm not going to worry about it.
Right.
You know, because right. If it's my time to go, I could be standing right there in my living room in a car running to my house. So hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just decided I'm not going to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were.
And I went and I got back safely.
You were.
Yes, I was. And it was that was great because I had a chance. I did make up for that particular class we did I got models, a lot of different French Africa models. You know, they were from all over French Africa, French speaking Africa. Mm-hmm. And my God, I had the greatest of complexions for the students to work on, so it was great to work in so many different colorings, you know. It was really, really wonderful. And I use a lot of, Makeup Forever has what I think is just a really spectacular set of color correctors, the chromatic mix. And those are really fabulous to tweak it and fine-tune in any foundation that you pretty much have. And I was able to utilize those and show the students how to use those and get maximum results from any foundation that you're using. So, I mean, they can really tweak and fine-tune the color for any foundation. And even a skin tone that was dark, but not dark, the Makeup Forever's dark foundation wasn't dark enough for one of the skin tones that we had. And to be able to put a little black in there and really mm-hmm. intensify that brown color, oh, my God, mm. and match her skin tone. It was like, she was, like, amazed, first of all, because she her skin was like velvet. And she was mm-hmm. so shocked at seeing how you can match up her skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't wear foundation because she could never find anything dark enough to match her.
Right.
Yeah, just having that little chromatic mix to just add a couple of drops of the black in there. Oh, my God, it just tweaked. It just tweaked that foundation like there was no tomorrow.
Wow. Now you,
really,
you just
it was really fabulous.
You just mentioned two words that is, I don't know how to describe it because, you know, it's like we've just been through this whole contouring, highlighting craze for, I mean, Lord knows how long. And now all of a sudden the new biggest thing, as if it's something totally brand new, is color correction.
Oh,
and
God.
It is just the most ridiculous thing I think we've heard in the beauty industry in such a long time. And, you know, I'm not even going to talk about why we people look to Instagram and YouTube for trends. But I was reading something online about color correction, and it describes it this way. Color correction, which is when you use different shades of concealer to target the areas in which they might be most effective, you know, like green to cover excess redness, orange for under eye circles, and pink to brighten your overall skin tone. Multicolor correcting basically takes it to a whole new level, and like heart and clown based contouring, isn't totally necessary or necessary at all. So, and then I go in this particular post. You know, you go, you see different photos, before and after photos, and then photos of the whole process of, you know, basically people painting their faces with war paint and then covering it up with foundation. What do you think about this nonsense?
Oh, gosh. What do I think about this nonsense? Oh, God, that's a hard one to just even verbalize.
I know, to even just process it all and then even begin to form a response.
And, you know, I watch this stuff, and first of all, when I look at something and anything that I find that you have to fast forward to put to show me, something tells mm-hmm. me it's wrong.
Yes.
So I always look at that because you fast forward, but I don't see the 3 hours it's taking you to blend this mess out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you have to work so hard and blend so hard, I don't get it because I don't think they're using color correction in the proper way.
Right.
You know, I teach the beginning classes at Cosmics, and one of the things that I take a lot of pride in is in 10, 11 days, I take these students from nothing to perfecting, literally to perfecting skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a formula that really works. Mm-hmm. And I teach them how to see what's in the skin and how to put what they see in the skin back in, as opposed to take it out. Now, I know mm-hmm. it probably contradicts what most people think, but some of my students have very pink tones, and that's the natural tone of the skin. And it amazes mm-hmm. me when I see people who pick up a yellow tone palette to put on a pink tone skin. It looks mm-hmm. like you're wearing a ton of makeup. You look embalmed, and then you have to spend all that time after you work so hard to try to take all that pink out of the skin. Then you spend all the time trying to put color back into the face so that they could look natural. My philosophy is I see a pink toned skin, and I put more pink in it. I don't take the pink out. I put what I see in there. So if the foundation is not pink enough, I take the chromatic mixes and I add some of that red to make it pink. I can get the color that a more desired color to put on the skin. Even people with rosacea, I look at those cheeks and I actually put a little bit more red in the foundation, and I put that right on the cheeks. I look at the skin and I see what I see. Whatever I see, I match up to those particular areas. So my palette might have 3 or 4 different colors on the palette. So mm-hmm. I take those colors that are on the palette, and if I have to add color justice to them, meaning if I have to use the chromatic mixes, then I take them and I put a couple of drops that I need, and I mix to suit, and I apply. Wherever I see the red, I put the red. Wherever I see the yellow, I put the yellow, and I blend. If the forehead is darker, I put a darker shade there, and I blend the forehead down, and I blend the cheeks around, and I blend the jaw lines in, so that when I'm done, it looks like they're wearing absolutely no makeup. When you do
right.
that, the skin looks natural, it looks healthy. You don't put a ton of makeup on, first of all, and they look amazing. And all you have to do is literally make sure the eyebrows look great, a little mascara, a little bit of powder if necessary, and wow. I use cream blush. If the person has rosacea, I use Cinema Secrets has this blush. I do not know the number of this blush, but I got to tell you, it is one of my favorite blushes to use for somebody who has rosacea or who has a lot of natural pink in their cheeks. The blush is brown. It's brown, and when you apply it, it just picks up whatever color you have in your skin, and it just looks so natural, so healthy, and so beautiful, and I use that a lot. And I love, love, love the end result. And I use that, and then I powder, and I believe in setting with a powder puff, especially if the skin is very, very, very oily. I set with a powder puff. If the skin is really, really dry, some areas I might not put any powder, depending on how dry it is, and I might just use a light dust in with a brush. That's if the skin is really dry. But normally I use a powder puff to set. But I first try to make sure that the colors that I'm using match up to the skin that's in front of me.
Right.
And the other thing that I do is there's a lavender toner. Now, I find when you put the lavender and the green and all those different toners onto the skin first, that is exactly what you get, lavender under the foundation. It does not read well. That's my philosophy. It just looks like lavender or green underneath the foundation. But when I find when I have my really light, translucent skin tones, they tend to be pale pink with a lot of blue underneath. You can see right through the skin. You can see literally all the little spider veins, all the little capillaries, everything, the distended capillaries. You can see all of that through the skin. When I get that skin tone, I find that when I mix the foundation with a tad of the lavender toner, it creates an opacity that allows skin to not look translucent anymore. And sometimes I have to put the lavender and a little bit of that chromatic red. And when I mix into that pinky foundation, oh, my gosh, the skin looks amazing by the time I'm done with it, because it kind of pulls all those tones together really beautifully. So I am now in love with this lavender toner I've been using. And it works really, really great. I mean, it's just amazing the way it works. I mean, that's my philosophy on you know, color correcting, because I teach so much of it that, you know, it's amazing when I see some of this stuff that's out there. I just can't even pay attention to it. It's just too crazy for me. I can't pay attention to it. It's like all these new fads that come up. At the end of the day, when you look at a red carpet, there's nobody walking that red carpet with those kind of crazy fads.
Right, no. Exactly. Exactly.
Do the students that you teach grasp those concepts pretty well, or do they...
Say it again?
The students that you teach color correcting to, do they grasp that concept quickly, or do some struggle with it?
Well, you know what it is. Let me explain something. One of the things I realize is that when they come in, they come in knowing they come in as Instagram and YouTube junkies.
Right.
And they challenge, they some of them challenge me to the core. And I first have to knock them down to their knees and then build them back up. Because some of them don't believe what I'm doing, and they're like, they want to do what they want to do, how they do it, because what they fail to realize the first day that they come into class, and I'm usually dealing with it, 20-something students, anywhere from 18 to about 22 students at a time. When they come in, I take a look at their faces. They come in with, you know, because it's their first day of makeup school, and they want to come in to impress. So they don't realize what their impressions do to me. They don't realize how much note I take. And some of it is so wrong. Some of it is just so wrong. They come in with strobing. They come in with trumping. They come in with everything that you could imagine because they think they're doing the best to impress. And then they realize that the next day they can't come to school with any makeup. And then we have to start from scratch. And I take them through a process. And by the second or third day, they're literally blending. And, you know, they start to pull colors and they start to look at colors. And I do my first class with them doing the face is literally custom blending the stuff. So they have to custom blend using just pigments. And then I introduce to them how pigments need a vehicle. So then I introduce them to using a little bit of moisturizer as the vehicle so that the pigment can glide on smoothly so that it doesn't dry blotchy. And then they're like, oh, okay. So there's a lot of light bulb moments that go off in the class because they got to understand how foundations are made. So I take them through all of that, and it's tough for some. Some get it faster than others. Some never get it, but that's the ones that never get it is a very small percentage. But by the end of 11 days, they are matching up skin tones really well. I mean, really well. When they move on to the other instructors, the one thing that the instructors tell me is, wow, they don't have any problems with matching foundations or lip tones because they spend every day I circle back, every day I circle back. So they get a chance to do over and over and over and over again the same thing. So they circle back to literally matching those skin tones where they're blended so well you can't tell and working on the lip tones. So they have to match up the lip tone so it's a perfect match to the lip tone. So it looks like a real no-makeup look. And, yes, it's tough. It's very tough. But I make them do it over and over and over again because it only takes you 24 hours to learn something. It takes you about 30 days to perfect it. So they have to do it over and over and over and over again in order to really grasp what they're doing. So I make them pull color. That's why you have a palette. That's why you're an artist. It's not you could just say you do makeup. There's no need to use the word artist after the word makeup. So I teach them how to use the palette. And I showed them on white palettes because I believe on a white palette you can see the color better than on a metal palette. So I show them how to see color, which is very difficult sometimes. And they put color on the palette and literally work with it and pull colors together. I mean, just like a painter, that's what painters do. So right. I teach them how to paint and how to figure it out and how when you make a mistake, how to correct it and not to wipe off the face constantly because it strips the face of all the oils and how to use moisturizer and foundation to clean up mistakes, you know, as opposed to strip it all down because that's the first thing they want to do is take a makeup remover and strip it all down. And that really can wear the skin down, especially if you're doing makeup on a face all day long. So I show them how to use different things, how to correct their mistakes and stuff by just using some more foundation or a little bit of moisturizer and not to just strip the face down all the way down. So it's a very interesting learning process for me, too, because every group I get is different. You know, every group I always, even though I start off using the same approach, I always have to tweak and adjust to suit the group that I'm dealing with. You know, and it's very tricky teaching when you have Instagram and YouTube to combat.
Right.
Because that's the primary instructor out there right now. And it's quite challenging for somebody like me.
So why do you think a lot of people out, a lot of makeup artists or people who want to be makeup artists, why do you think they are, besides the fact that it's free, why do you think, or can you even answer this question, why some people want to learn from YouTube or Instagram as opposed to taking a class, whether it's going into a classroom or doing an online class? I mean, why is that?
Well, I think the power of social media. Social media is quite powerful. And when you're young and you're lost, which a lot of these students are, they can't figure out what direction they want to go in, and a lot of them want to go and become makeup artists for the wrong reasons. They see what people consider successes on YouTube, so they want to do makeup for the wrong reasons. You know, they want to do red carpet. And they don't understand that they're not the ones walking the red carpet. It's the celebrity that's walking the red carpet, you see. So there's so many misconceptions, and they think they're going to make a living off of editorial. Or they don't quite know the different avenues of makeup artistry. So it's breaking down and explaining to them the different avenues of makeup artistry and how they make money and, you know, all the above. And it's a very interesting process because there's so much misinformation. One of the things that I have to do is to take that misinformation that they come in with and all those preconceived notions and put it in perspective for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite challenging, I got to tell you. You know, it's sometimes it's frustrating because, you know, they don't understand why I don't want Insta browse, or, you know, or why I can't use this product versus that product. And, you know, they don't understand how certain products translate on film and in print. They don't get it. So it's quite tricky, I think. You know,
yes.
I just saw something. I think it's Michael DeVillis posted it, and it's a very interesting. It kind of goes along with the same lines about why they're getting into makeup, you know, because of preconceived notions and stuff.
Mhm.
And they look at photos that are so retouched, and they can't decipher the difference. You know,
right.
They don't, because so many of these photos that I look at, they're all retouched. They're not, you can't, you're not looking at the real thing. And even if they say they don't use any filter, some of these cameras automatically put a filter. So when you look at the photo, you're seeing work that's diffused a few times. There's some form of diffusion, so you're not really seeing what the work really looks like in person. You know?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, and it's like I see people with this milk of magnesia and things like that. I mean,
that's
so ridiculous. It's like milk of magnesia on your face. Eventually you're going to pay the price. And when you put such an opaque mask onto your skin, you've got to use a lot of product to cover that up.
Absolutely.
Because no matter what you say, milk of magnesia dries white.
Exactly.
So if I put a white mask on my face, any product I put on top of it it's going to have to be a lot of product in order for me to look normal.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, I was working on a show, and we had an actress that was very oily. And so the makeup department had told me, use this milk of magnesia. And
what?
So I, oh gosh, yes. Yes. And so I used it, and you're right. I mean, it dries white, and you have to put a ton of makeup over it to cover it. Yes, you know, it's going to keep, it's going to prevent them from, you know, getting oily or whatever, because like you said, it strips the skin of its natural oils when you consistently use that stuff every day. It's not good.
It strips the skin. It strips the skin. It is not the healthiest thing for the skin.
No.
And, I don't know. It's
I mean, there are other skincare products out there that would, you know, assist in doing a good job of you know, controlling oil and prepping and priming the skin, you know, but that's not it. And I mean, I've seen different like makeup studios and stuff in Nigeria that actually stock that stuff on the shelves and sell it alongside makeup products.
Wow. It's too much for me. It's just too much for me. You know, I have a hard time with them. You know, I have a really, really difficult time with stuff. And I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't work for me. You know, but, you know, hey, people perpetuate it. So, you know, I love skin. I love to be able to see the skin. And when you put so much stuff to mask it, I don't see how you can see skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I want to see not a diffused photo, but I want to see what it really looks like. I don't want to see the retouched.
Right.
You know, that it's
right.
So severely retouched that you don't see any pores on the face, and that to me, I don't find that, that's not normal.
And, you know, what's so funny is a lot of times when you see people using that, most of the time people are using this milk of magnesia, and they're just doing, they're doing makeup for a photo shoot, or they're doing makeup for a wedding. Something that's not going to last all day long. Like, yes,
right.
With a wedding, you know, you may be at the wedding and the reception and all that maybe for a total of 5 hours.
Right.
And you're not going to even take pictures for that long. You know what I mean? So it's okay if you shine at some point. But if you're working on film and television, you know, something that where you're going to be there all day and the actors are going to be in makeup all day, that's something different. But still, that's not the proper product. That.
I know, because I mean, on set you want makeup to hold up, and I don't see putting magnesia all over a face. Okay, if you want to put it in the little areas that are oily, that's one thing. But even then, it's still too much for me. I find there are other products that work so much better.
Yeah, because it's going to irritate the skin at some point. People, you know, the skin actually tightens up. Who wants to live in tightened skin all day?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I love makeup. I'm so disillusioned with the direction that I see things going in one trend after the other. And it just, you know, it's like, where does it stop? It's like now, I mean, now we're revamping the color correctors that used to be out in the 70s and the 80s. And when you look at a color wheel, one of the things that I have issue with, when you look at a color wheel, those things, the colors that they use are pastels.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look, they can only neutralize within the same sector of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that
pale yellow that is used to try to neutralize the red. Unless the red is within the same intensity as that pale yellow, it will never work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you look at orange and blue, when you look at a lot of the neutralizers that are used for underneath the eyes, a lot of them don't really work because the intensity of the neutralizer is not intense enough a lot of times to neutralize what is going on underneath the eyes. In order for it to work, it has got to be to match and have the same intensity to cancel out that darkness. If it doesn't, it will always look like a lighter darkness underneath the eyes. It will not cancel it out. And I mean, so there's so many, I mean, you can't put a concealer on top of a really dark under eye. You first have to neutralize it before you can conceal it.
Absolutely.
And if you don't neutralize it and you just take that concealer and you put on, it just doesn't work. You spend the whole day trying to correct that.
Exactly.
I mean, you just spend the whole day and this red lipstick that I see underneath the eyes and all this other stuff that I see, it does not work. I don't know who comes up with
God,
this.
Yeah.
The orange that you see that's out there, that's orange, doesn't work either.
Right.
Because it doesn't have enough brown tone in it.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have enough red.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier. You know, when you look at the skin, whatever you see, you put, that's, you know, that's pretty much the same color you put in those spots. So if you think about a woman of color, if I'm taking myself and under the eye I see brown, I see dark brown. So, again, you have to match the brown that you see under the eye.
Right.
So if you're going to use something that's orange or coral or whatever, or salmon, then it, like you said, it has to have enough brown in it to conceal it.
Exactly. And if it doesn't, it does not work.
It does not work. Trust me, I've been through many. People claim this is going to work and that's going to work.
It does not work. It does not work. And I mean, it's like, come on, you got to understand what you're doing. And it's tricky because I know, can I tell you, when I was in France at the Makeup Forever Academy, one of the students had really pink toned skin. And I took that red from the chromatic mix and I had to put so much red in the foundation to make it really pink. And then I applied it on one side of her face. And one of the students looked me dead in the face and she said, "I don't believe you. I don't believe that works." And she saw me. I applied the half the face. She goes, "I still don't believe you." And I'm doing it in front of her. Until I finish her face, and then finally she said, "I have to try it for myself to see if this really works." And then she took exactly what I did and did it. She goes, "Oh, my God, I can't believe it really works. It works." I was like, "Well, I told you." She's like, "It really works. I never would have thought of doing that." Because they take yellow and slap the face with a whole lot of yellow to try to take that red out. And then the person looks like they're wearing a mask. And then you spend the next 3 hours trying to blend this mask out. And then you have to put a whole lot of blush on. And then when you're done, you have to go and take bronzing powder to make the face look alive.
Right.
So, just a very interesting process, I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a very, very interesting process. So I just, you know, I believe what I believe, and others believe what they believe, and, you know, sometimes we never can see eye to eye.
Right.
So I am fortunate when my students get it. And they see I'm not making it up, you know?
Right, right. All right.
You know.
Well, Marietta, I think it's up to you, and it's up to us, and I think it's up to other professionals to you know, really get the word out there and really start teaching proper ways of color correction and just the proper ways of you know, doing makeup. I mean, I think somebody's got to put an end to this nonsense. People are going to do whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's on YouTube or wherever else on social media, but if you're going to be a makeup artist, you have got to learn proper techniques.
Yep, I totally agree with you. Because, I mean, there's some definite, definite techniques that's necessary to create a beautiful look.
Absolutely.
You know, because even with contouring, I teach my students how to contour first. If they want to get a really beautiful sculpted face that looks natural. So when they contour before they put on foundation, you can blend, especially if you have compromised skin. So if you've got skin, because every skin you do is not going to be flawless. If you've got skin that's not flawless and skin that has breakout in that area that you're going to contour, you can't possibly put foundation on and then put contour on, because what are you going to do? The contour is going to mess with the foundation in the areas that you're trying to cover up anyway. So, but if you contour first and blend that out and then apply foundation over it, you can get the most beautiful sculpted look on the planet without seeing one contour line.
Right.
So I contour first. I mean, that's just me staying, you know, on top of friends and all these
right.
kind of things being out there. You know. And stuff. So I you know, I love makeup. And I love beautiful skin. And it's probably part because I've been doing film for so many years that I just love to see the skin and to see pores and, you know, and not a whole lot of manipulation.
Exactly.
You know, so that, I mean, that's my two cents, you know. That's just my two cents. So, you guys are back on Survivor's Remorse, working hard, huh?
Back on Survivor's Remorse, working hard. you had mentioned you wanted to see skin. I just started thinking about the ladies that we're working with. Oh, boy, I tell you, they really love makeup. And it is something, and it can be very challenging because every last one of them have oily skin. And so it's just a matter of... you know, just finding the right products for each of them, and you know, because certain things work well on one person, but not necessarily the other. You know,
right?
I guess, you know, there are different levels to oily skin. So,
you know what I actually used in Barbados, and I loved, and it worked really well. The Emily's Hydra Matte.
Oh yeah, I do have that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I have that. I'm gonna get that and take it in tomorrow. I do have that.
Oh my! Can I tell you? I used that on Adrian Holmes, and it worked beautifully. It held up the makeup really nicely. I mean, the oil production was so low. It worked great. I used Hydra Matte. Then I used the Makeup Forever, the new Ultra HD formulation on him. And
yes.
He's got a really heavy, heavy beard shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that to help neutralize all that beard shadow. Then very little foundation on the rest of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I powdered with the Makeup Forever powder that I use on myself, that color. I
mm-hmm.
use that. And that I love that because it doesn't build up, first of all, that powder.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that, and then I would touch up with the Eve Pearl powderless powder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that held up beautifully. It gave me a beautiful look for him.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you're using the Embryolisse, what is it called again?
Hydromat,
yes. Do you find that when you use that, and then also when you're using the, you know, you use the foundation, the Ultra HD foundation, and then, so are you setting it with the powder, or are you just touching up with the powder?
No, I set it with the powder.
Okay. So which powder are you setting it with?
I set it with Makeup Forever Loose Powder.
Okay, the Makeup Forever Loose Powder. Okay. And then you touch up with Eve Pearl's powderless powder. Okay.
Right.
So, but do you find that the skin still looks like it's alive, meaning that the skin looks like it still has moisture in it, or is it super matte?
Oh, it just looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is then I take a damp sponge and go over the face.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I take a damp sponge and just kind of roll the damp beauty blender over the face lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
this is after you set it.
And I found that the skin looked beautiful. That Makeup Forever powder is like the
mm-hmm.
Christian Dior loose powder to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both of them because they don't build up.
Right.
You know how some powders build up and leave that residue?
Right.
You can retouch with those. You can set beautifully with that and retouch and not have to worry about it building and caking.
Gotcha, right.
So I use that, and I got great results.
Mm-hmm.
Great results with that, with those. And, I mean, Adrian held up really, really well.
Have you tried the primer of the primer spray and the setting spray from Scandinavia? Do you like those?
I use some of that, so I forgot about that. I actually used some of that too, because what I do is after the foundation,
mm-hmm.
after I apply the foundation, I use a damp sponge
mm-hmm.
with that on it and go over the foundation.
Gotcha. So that's what you're going over the foundation.
Yeah.
So that's how you're wetting the sponges with that. Gotcha.
Yeah, I wet the sponge with that and then go over the foundation.
As opposed to spraying it.
Huh?
As opposed
no, I don't,
to spraying
I don't,
it?
I might spray it every now and then, but I tend to do
okay.
the foundation with that first.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. then if you feel it's a little powdery, then I dampen I use the same damp blender sponge and
mm-hmm.
go over it a little bit. I don't spray very often.
You know, I was always afraid of finishing sprays because I hate having this beautiful face, and then you spray with the finishing sprays, and then when it dries, you have these little spots on the face.
Yeah,
so
I like that's why I like spraying and controlling. I like to spray the sponge and roll the sponge.
Yeah, right. But it wasn't until I started using Scandinavia that I realized it's okay to spray this stuff. It's okay to spray Scandinavia because it's like, you know, it's like a very fine mist that lands on the face, and then it's like before you know it, it's dry, and you don't see it.
Right. Yeah. I spray occasionally too. I do both, but I tend to use just a damp sponge more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something I wanted to mention earlier that I thought was so funny because you just mentioned the Beauty Blender and it reminded me. But Beauty Blender, I'm not sure if it's out yet or not. I know I think it may be on Sephora.com. The Beauty Blender has come out with these little mini blenders that are in the color correcting colors.
They are? Is that what that is? Oh, I didn't even realize that.
It has a little lavender one, a little peach one, a little pink one. It's funny.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, they do.
Wow, that's wild.
I thought it was funny, but you know what? They'll sell really well because people will buy them just to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I see they have a new nude one.
Okay, I don't know if I saw the nude one yet.
Yeah, they have a nude one. I think I haven't seen it in person. I just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in person.
Yeah. This has been great. This has been great. So for all you people out there who want to learn how to to properly apply makeup and color correct and all that good stuff, hit Marietta up. She's got some great classes. She wouldn't mind teaching in person, online. Whatever you need.
It's so true.
If you really want to learn how to do makeup the proper way.
It's so true.
Tell them how to contact you, Marietta.
Workshopsbymarietta@gmail.com. Easy way to contact me. Yep, workshopsbymarietta@gmail.com. Very simple.
All right. Sounds good to me. And where can they find you on social media? I know you do Facebook a lot.
My full name. Search my name, Marietta Carden Narcisse. It's right there. I'm easy to find. I'm easy. I'm very easy to find. Very, very easy.
Yeah. All right, Marietta, well, you get some rest. I know you're still probably trying to unwind from your trip.
Unwind, is that what you call it, girl? Whoo, yeah. Are you guys going out to L.A. to the show?
To which show?
Did I miss it already? The makeup show.
Makeup show, no. We were there in January for IMAT.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, if I do makeup show, it's normally Orlando.
Because it's easy
to turn around and get back.
Right, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. We seem to always be working when most of the makeup shows pop up.
Right, yeah. Gotcha.
Are you going to be out there?
No, I don't. I'm not. No, because I'm getting ready to. My next class starts on the 21st of.
Okay. I'm gonna come down there and take one of your classes.
You are.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, the beginning class. I am just so excited about what I do in the beginning class. I find that, it's really interesting to take them through all the steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a short period of time, and you know, because we do facial geometry, we do color theory, we do a lot of the custom blending with the foundations, and you know, showing them how to work with the colors, and you know, we just do micro line. They perfect two looks in my class, and that's the no makeup look, and just a basic clean beauty. And then they build from there, because once you can do those two looks, you build from there.
Right.
I mean, because everything else is just a variation thereof.
Right.
Yeah, and stuff.
Do you still do a period class? Period makeup class?
Occasionally I still do period makeup at the school. I haven't done it in a while, but I came here to the period at the school.
Okay.
You know. Occasionally I still do at the school, you know. I just sent you a private message, Janice. Once you're off the air, you can look at it.
Okay.
And stuff, so yeah. trying to get back to normal has been tough, girl. Oh, Lord, yeah, it's been tough. You don't realize how hard you've worked, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't realize how much you give of yourself and how hard you've worked until it's time to you know, it's like, wow, I was that tired?
Right.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, I didn't realize how tired I was and how hard I'd work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all going to be worth it in the end because it's such a beautiful project that we just did. Such a beautiful project.
Right.
And having Kristy McEnor on there was just, you know, she's like a regular old comedian, so it was great.
Now, will we be able to see it?
What?
Will we be able to see it?
I think so. I think we're gonna try and do some screenings. I'm sure we're gonna do some film festivals and stuff. And I'm sure we're gonna be doing some screenings in Atlanta and all over the U.S. I'm sure, because we still fly to D.C. to do Eric Holder. And Eric Holder is of Barbadian heritage, so he's our narrator.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. He's a narrator and stuff. So yeah. So it's those island connections. Like my son says to me, he goes, "You're in Barbados and your accent is so heavy." he let me realize how heavy it is. As soon as I got home, my accent became very, very heavy. It's just normal, I guess. Yeah. I guess it's normal. It's normal. it's normal. That's how it is.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Michelle.
Oh, you guys are welcome anytime. You guys are welcome anytime. You know, it's always a pleasure to be on here. It's always a pleasure to chat with you guys. You know, you guys keep doing great things. So
we're trying.
And that's always.
All right, well,
you guys have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
You take care.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. check us out again next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here, same place. Everyone, do you have any last words?
Last words. One thing I would like.
Guys.
Hmm?
Last words from you guys, not me.
Yeah, from us. From.
I just want makeup artists to, you know, really think seriously about, you know, makeup as a career. And if you're going to really do this as a career, then you must study, you know, not just study about the history of makeup, not just study, you know, because most times people think when you say study, you're just talking about, oh, study the history of makeup and all this, and study, you know, makeup artists that came before you, and study, you know, different time periods. Yes, you need to study all of that, but I think we have to get back to really studying the craft itself. Really understanding techniques and why we do things the way we do things. So I think we all owe it to ourselves to, you know, to research some of the people out there who are doing classes and really consider taking a class from a professional makeup artist, not, you know, someone that's doing makeup on themselves, or not someone who became a makeup artist yesterday because, you know, they learned how to contour and highlight and do all this stuff, and, you know, they think just because they can beat their own face that, you know, they're great. You know, you don't need to learn from a, you know, Instagrammer, like Instagram blogger or anybody like that, but to really, and this is, I'm not trying to, you know, put anybody down, but I think we have to get back to the real basics of what it is that we do and really learn from professionals. They're professional for a reason. They've been in the business for as long as they have for a reason. And I think we have to really get back to the basics. And that's why I said that I was going to take one of Marietta's classes. Not that I don't know how to do makeup. Not that I don't understand all of this stuff. But why not?
Right.
Why not take a class? You know, it doesn't hurt to, you know, take a basic one-on-one class after being in the business, you know, almost 19 years. Why not?
Wow.
You know, because we can all get stuck, you know, in our own way and of, you know, of doing things certain ways. And it's not that we're doing it the wrong way, but, you know, why not learn something from somebody else? You know, and we might have some of those light bulb moments, which can be good.
I'm always looking for light bulb moments for myself, girl.
Exactly, exactly. So we really need to study our craft, like really. And not just, you know, watch somebody do something or listen to somebody do something, but after you've learned from a professional, pick up the brushes and go to work.
Yep. Amen to that.
That's right. Amen to that. I totally agree. we should always be learning continuously. It's just the best thing, I think. And just being very open to, you know, learning new things. And again, I totally agree. I think it's very important to people who, you know, who are out there, who are experienced, who've been teaching a while, who, you know, it's always great to learn from people who can share not only their knowledge, but they can share their experiences. Because, you know, we can learn a lot just from listening to what someone has experienced as well. their experiences from working and actually, like you were talking about, studying your craft and even practicing your craft through your work. So, you know, I totally agree with that. I totally, totally agree. So you can follow us on Facebook, we are Beauty Talk Online. On Twitter, we are Beauty_Talk. And on Instagram, we are Beauty_Talk_Media. And then my sister and I are, you can find us online on all social media outlets under our names, Denise Janelle and Janice Janelle. That's J-A-N-I-C-E, last name P-U-N-N-E-L-L. All right. And with that being said, everyone have a great night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.